Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Will Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, Will. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, glad to be on as usual.
Thank you, man. And, of course, thank you very much, everybody, for checking out this episode. On today's show, we're going to be previewing the Super Bowl. It's going to be an epic battle between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs trying to defend their title at Super Bowl 55. We'll also talk about... we'll recap what happened in the championship conference series. We'll talk about the hot stove. Is Trevor Bauer, coming one step closer to coming to the Mets after the Mets trade, the Arenado trade to the Cardinals from the Rockies. We'll also talk about the NBA with the Knicks and quickly becoming a fan favorite at the Garden. And, of course, talk WWE, AEW, NXT, and give you our thoughts and preview on the upcoming Royal Rumble tomorrow night. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to share your thoughts, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. So with that said, let's go right into the Super Bowl talk. And I know you're pumped, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good Super Bowl matchup right there. Brady versus Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Super Bowl that's coming up, this is going to be the fifth time in their history that these two guys are battling out. You got a bona fide future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady and a guy in Mahomes who, if he stays healthy, Canton will be calling his name as well. But
yeah.
It's going to be an epic battle. The first two times they faced each other, Brady had the upper hand, but the last two times, Mahomes got the better of him, including most recently in the regular season. So something's got to give. Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the first home team to host the stadium in their own actual stadium. Yes, the home team has defended their hometown, the actual stadium. Tom Brady is going to make history. He's going to play in his 10th Super Bowl, and he's going to try to win his 7th. So, we're going to and of course the first one with the Buccaneers. So, it's going to be a huge series. Tampa, they upset the Green Bay Packers with a dubious call by the head coach LaFleur, laying the game, being conservative and instead of going for the touchdown and the 2-point conversion, to actually give them the only chance they had of coming back, Instead, he punted the season away, literally and figuratively, by, you know, kicking the field goal. And
I'm surprised by that. They should have went for the Packers should have went for the score there instead of the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is a do or die situation, and you're just gonna kick a field goal, and you might not even get the ball back. I didn't get that.
Nobody does. Nobody got that.
You know, that cost them.
In the words of Yoda,
"Do or do not. There is no try."
And he died because there was no try in LaFleur. I mean, that was just a badly executed play. I mean, decision. You know, it was like, you know, he was not playing to win. He was playing not to lose. And as weird as that sounds, there is a difference. He was playing scared, man. He got, you know, that decision, man. Common sense would tell you, history would tell you, look into the history books, look into the archives. You do not give Tom Brady a chance to get the ball back. Final possession. If you give Tom Brady a chance, 9 out of 10 times, unless if he's not looking at Eli Manning or Wentz, you know, basically, you know, it's not gonna be a good situation for you. So that was just a bad job by LaFleur and the Packers.
And you know, the Brady, he was actually trying to cost the Buccaneers that game because he threw some key interceptions in the second half there, which could have led to a Packers comeback. So Brady didn't look good in the second half at all compared to the first half. So, you know, the Packers had a few chances to come back and win that game, but they didn't, you know, they failed to, you know, they failed to capitalize on those mistakes by Tampa.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of a very good friend of his, someone you admire very well, 20 years ago. His team was kind of limped into the playoffs, but since they had that championship experience, you know, they were able to win. And of course, I'm talking about your boy Derek Jeter and the Yankees. So never count out a veteran in a situation who has ice water in his veins, who knows about the situation. They live and breathe in those situations. You don't give people like that a chance.
Yeah.
So that came back to bite them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with the Jets earlier in that season, the season too. I'm trying to think about that. I think it was the Raiders. They had a chance to win, and then they gave the ball back. I think to Carr. And he ended up scoring as the time expired, you know, on a Hail Mary pass.
Which caused the defensive coordinator to lose his job.
Yeah, Greg Williams.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rams, they acquired Matt Stafford. So Detroit traded their longtime quarterback. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's a veteran trade because Matthew Stafford goes to Rams, Jared Goff goes to Detroit, and the Rams are also sending picks to Detroit as well. But yeah, that's a pretty interesting trade right there. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully it works out for both teams. I mean, I think now. The Rams, they have a guy who, you know, is slightly better, you know, at quarterback and can throw the ball down the field to the, you know, the receivers like Cooper Kupp and forgot the other receiver's name. But, yeah, now they could have more of a passing offense because they've always been like a run-first team, you know. And so now they could pass first, run second. I guess that's what they're hoping for with the addition of – with this trade of Matthew Stafford. On the Lions side, You know, Lions, they have a young team as well, and I think Goff is going to work out for them, you know. But I think they're going to miss Stafford, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those underrated quarterbacks who get overlooked by, you know, guys like Mahomes and Brady and Breeze, you know. So, yeah, I think Stafford is going to – he's going to do well in L.A. and bring them back to the promised land, hopefully. Maybe they make it to the Super Bowl next year. We'll see. But I think this is a good trade for both teams.
Yeah, I agree, you know. But both men need a change of scenery. It's, you know, sure, it's a sad day for the Lions fans. You know, they've had him for a long time on that team. And
yeah.
Now, you know, it's the end of the era. And they're just hoping Goff can take him to the Super Bowl like he did he did with years ago. He was the effort to the aforementioned Brady.
Yeah.
But and then on the other side, the AFC side, the Chiefs, man, they just bludgeoned the Bills. Those were trying to snap that long streak, you know, of not making it to the Super Bowl since the days of Jim Kelly in the 90s. And unfortunately for them, you know, Mahomes was able to play after he successfully, you know, recovered from his from the concussion he suffered in the previous game. And, you know, they just demolished them. And the Chiefs are going to try to win back-to-back. You know,
yeah.
Mahomes is a young phenom trying to win back-to-back. And I think he's like the youngest guy, or, you know, to go to the Super Bowl, like under the age of 25, something to that statistic.
Yeah, something like that. He's been phenomenal. So, and
mm-hmm.
the Chiefs have been phenomenal. You know, they're looking to defend their championship and win this for the second year in a row. And you know, they're really good, man. Offensively, you know, they have a lot of weapons. You know, they got probably the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce. They got one of the best wide receivers in Tyreek Hill. And they got some other speedsters as well on that wide receiving core. They got some good young running backs, and they got a great coach in Andy Reid, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and their defense, while it's not great, it holds up for the most part. And, you know, they have our former defense coordinator, Spagnuolo, you know,
mm-hmm.
calling the shots. And, you know, he has had some, you know, some great games against Brady, especially our first Super Bowl. You know, so I think he's going to come up with a scheme to stop Tampa. And, you know, I see Kansas City repeating this year. You know, I don't think they could be beat. And, you know, if Brady goes out and throws three interceptions in the second half like he did against the Packers, then, you know, if you give Kansas, you know, several chances, they're going to come back and beat you. So Tampa cannot do that because, you know, Kansas City can score. And when they score in bunches. So, yeah, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game, but I see Kansas City pulling it out.
I hope you're right. Normally, I would agree with you, but, man, that Brady, man, you know, he got that familiarity with Gronk, and I just think they're just – I mean, both teams are battle-tested, and obviously – the Mahomes and the Chiefs are, you know, they have, I mean, they've been practically undefeatable lately, you know, for the past couple of years. So they have success on their side as well. But I don't know. I think Tom Brady, this might be his last hurrah of getting that title and sticking it to Belichick that he was the system, you know. So I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home making history. They're gonna upset the Kansas City Chiefs. I hope I'm wrong, But history shows when I root for a team, they don't win. So I think that's what I think. I think unfortunately for Mahomes, you know, they're not gonna win it.
I think it's gonna be a good game. But,
yeah.
I think the Chiefs, you know, they still have it in the back of their head what Brady and the Patriots did a couple of years ago in preventing them from getting to the Super Bowl in that AFC Championship. I don't think they've forgotten that, but Kansas City just has too much weapons, you know, and they can just score when they've scored against some of the best defenses, in the last couple of years. And I just don't see them beating Tampa. And Tampa, they've been on a run here for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know. But at the end of the day, I just think Kansas City is just going to be too much of a problem for Tampa.
I mean, normally I would agree with you because Kansas City looks like they're the team of destiny, but
Tampa is playing at home, so they got that on their side. Yeah,
they got that advantage, man. They're at home. They got a veteran who got ice water in his veins, especially playing that frigid Gillette Stadium, you know, for New England. You know, I honestly think Kansas City Chiefs is gonna have a lead, but they're gonna blow it, and the Bucks are gonna win it. Might be, I say, maybe a 3-10 point lead, and they'll blow it to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a good game. I'll say that for sure.
No doubt.
You know, this I don't like to bet back against Brady, but this year I'm gonna have to bet against him in the Super Bowl.
Trust me, I'm rooting against him.
Hopefully, I win some money this year.
I'm rooting against him, but if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet against him.
Yeah, usually I wouldn't, but, you know, then again, that was with the Patriots.
Yep.
Even though he's done good and he's reached it to the Super Bowl this far with this new team, you know, I still think Belichick, you know, had a lot to do with, you know, Patriots' success.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think we're seeing Patriots here, so I'm going to have to put my money on the Chiefs. Hopefully I win some. A lot of money this
week. Well, I hope you do as well.
Yeah.
But, let's move on to baseball. And, there's been some big moves, you know, in baseball. You got Nolan Arenado. He got traded yesterday to the St. Louis Cardinals, and I mean that's a huge move right there. You got like a slick fielding third baseman who's arguably the best all around third baseman in the game, who the Mets have been rumored to be interested in, and a bunch of other teams, and he got traded to St. Louis, a town that They're always like a title contender. Mm-hmm. You know, they re-signed Wainwright. I think they're close to re-signing Yadier Molina. That's a town that, you know, they know about winning, you know. I'd say they're the crown jewels of the National League, you know, unfortunately. And unlike the other big teams, you know, in baseball, it's like a laid back town, you know. It's kind of like LA or the Florida teams, you know. There's not that much pressure on you. St. Louis, you know, they got the history, all those I think they even have the most numbers retired in history. I mean, other than the Yankees, of course.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of icons, and yeah, Nolan Arenado's going to feel right at home with them. I mean, you know, that
good fit.
It's going to, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I said, I think it's going to be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be no pressure. I mean, obviously, Coors Field, you know, that was like a arcade over there, Home Run Derby over there. Even though, like, over the years, it's, you know, it's been more back down to earth than it's been, say, like the early, you know, like when it debuted in what, 93, where it's like a you know, a bandbox where anybody could just hit it out. I mean, you could hit three home runs over there, you know, back to back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a good move for the Cardinals. You know, so. You know, Chris Bryant, you know, he's another third baseman who's rumored to be traded. You know, some people think maybe to the Mets, to the Dodgers. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get traded to the Mets, Chris Bryant. Because the Mets, they're gonna try to re-sign Conforto and Lindor, and then potentially try to sign Trevor Bauer, you know. And, yeah, basically, after the Mets got Lindor, I mean, they've had nothing but bad publicity lately, you know, firing Jared Porter, losing out to George Springer, you know, him going to Toronto, Brad Hand, a guy who they literally mentioned on the first press conference that, oh, if we were, you know, if we were in charge before Brad Hand was put on waivers by the Cleveland Indians, we would have picked him up. Well, guess what? This guy was on the market this whole time. This whole time, and the Nationals got him by giving a $0.5 million, a half a million more than they did. And why did he choose Nationals over the Mets? Simply put, Mets was going to offer him $10 million. The Nationals offered $0.5 million. The only reason he chose, well, there's two reasons why he chose it, supposedly. One, where they play, it's close to his home. You know, where they play spring training is close to his home. And two, the even more important reason is that, I'm trying to remember. Oh, yes. They were going to give him a guaranteed closing job, whereas with the Mets could not promise him that he would be the closer over Edwin Diaz, Lugo, or even Trevor May, the biggest reliever acquisition they had in this offseason. So they lose out on Springer, Hand, and potentially they could lose out to Jackie Bradley Jr. or, more importantly, Trevor Bauer. And the rumor is that the Mets, they're going to offer up to 4 years, maybe even as low as 1 year, with, you know, and he'll be close to Garrett Cole, his former teammate, annual salary of $36 million, but he won't surpass it. And what made the rumor even more likely is because I think it was on Thursday, the Mets traded longtime Met Steven Matz, you know, their lefty who had a lot of potential, but his career was always injury plagued and, you know, also filled with inconsistencies. He got traded to Toronto for three draft picks. One of them was a guy who had a cup of coffee. I think his name is Sean Reed Foley. I think he's a right-hander. I think he started a few games with Toronto. Mets are most likely might use him in the bullpen. And then they had some other guys that were thrown into the deal. I think they were all like right-handers, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's a bittersweet trade, man. Because, you know, Steven Matz, he grew up a Mets fan from Long Island. His debut was literally a Met classic. You know, he had like two or three doubles, knocking like four RBIs. His grandpa was enthusiastic stands. Like his grandfather was a star. Like they were like focused on him the whole day, you know, because his grandfather, like Steve, were huge Mets fans, you know, growing up. So, you know, you could not even imagine how happy, you know, his grandfather was to see his grandson living out the dream and performing with the Mets. But unfortunately, injuries and inconsistencies led to the end of his tenure. You know, Mets, you know, he thanked the Mets fans, you know, for, you know, the support and, of course, the organization for giving him an opportunity. And, he's, you know, he's looking forward to his, you know, his new opportunity in Toronto, just like Jerv Springer was, you know. Jerv Springer was, he was intrigued by the young offense that the Blue Jays have. And might I tell you, that offense is very impressive. I mean, they have a bunch of juniors on that team. Like, they got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You have Kevin Biggio. I mean, there's so many names I can't even think off the top of my head. Like, they have, like, a lot of good second-generational star players on that team.
A lot of young talent.
I mean, they're not playing the Blue Jays team. You know, they improved the pitching that they had from a few years ago. You know, they got Ryu as a, you know, as their ace. I'm trying to think who else they have. Trying to think off the top of my head. They did a lot of improvements in this offseason. You know, they have literally been the thorn at the Mets' side this whole offseason. As a matter of fact, that was the team I wanted the Mets to face in the World Series in 2015. Because I thought the Mets would have had a much better time with the team they had like 6 years ago was you know, like a power hitting team. But this team is so balanced. The offense, you know, they're good. They're clutch hitters. They're power hitters. I mean, they're not going to be easy to put away if any team faces them in the World Series. So, yeah, but they gotta overcome the Yankees. And you know, the Yankees made some moves. You know, they re-signed DJ LeMahieu, which was priority number one. They did a smart choice at you know, signing Corey Kluber and, you know, with a low risk, high reward signing, you know, you're getting a two-time Cy Young Award winner, you know, and a guy who's been battle tested, you know, with Cleveland, you know, and Corey Kluber. So yeah, that was a good move. And they made some moves. They got Tyone from the Pirates. That's another move, you know, hard-throwing guy that could have potential with the pinstripes. But I'd say the saddest move they made this whole offseason was that they let Tanaka go. You know, they didn't pursue him, and he signed a 2-year deal with the Rakuten Eagles, the team he pitched for prior to you know, coming to the Yankees 7 years ago. So what's your thoughts on the Yankees offseason, especially the end of the era with Masahiro Tanaka?
Well, I mean, the number one priority was DJ LeMahieu. So, you know, I'm glad that they signed him. You know, this guy is, you know, one of the best, if not the best hitter in baseball right now. So, you know, re-signing him, you know, just makes our offense that much better come this upcoming season. But I'm glad to have him back. And, you know, getting Kluber and Tyone, those are two very good pitchers. If they stay healthy, you know, they help our staff. They help us have one of the best pitching staffs, you know, in MLB. But that's if they stay healthy, because both of these guys, you know, the last several years, they've had some injuries, you know. So both guys have something to prove. to show that they still have, you know, something left in the tank. So hopefully it works out. As far as Tanaka, you know, the Yankees, they pursued Tanaka, but Tanaka, I heard he wanted more money. The Yankees weren't willing to offer him that money, so he decided to go back to Japan. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, he's been money when it comes to the postseason, with the exception of last year. And, you know, he's pitched fairly well for us the past seven seasons. You know, it's going to be sad to see him go, you know. And when they said he's with the Yankees for seven seasons, those seven seasons went by so quick. I was thinking he was with us for like five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just reminded me seven seasons. I'm like, yeah, that's right. He has been with us for seven seasons. But it just went by so fast. But, yeah, I mean, he'll definitely be missed. I mean, I just wish the Yankees could have found a way to bring him back. But, yeah, I mean, it's business. So, you know, hopefully the Yankees, they could go into 2021 here and produce a good team and have the players stay healthy because, you know, we've had a number of injuries the last couple of years. So, you know, we'll see what 2021 has in store for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll wait and see what the Yankees are going to do. And, yeah, going back to the Mets, yeah, the Mets, you know, they also had a controversy with the owner, Steve Cohen. Basically, he quit Twitter because there were some people on Twitter who were sending him and his family death threats, you know, basically because of some controversial, you know, situation regarding GameStop and I think AMC Theater. I mean, it's just I don't even know this whole situation. It's just insane, but I mean, I don't know the details, to be honest with you. But I mean, it's just a crazy situation. I mean, nobody should be sending people's death threats for, you know. I mean, I don't even know what the story is about, to be honest with you. But it's just beyond me.
Well, so what happened was, so Robinhood, an app for novice traders.
Mm-hmm.
Who trade stocks, they ended up buying shares of GameStop, AMC, and some other businesses once those stocks soared.
Mm-hmm.
And once those stocks soared, you know, once these people start buying a bunch of shares, these hedge funds lose money.
Mm.
And Steve Cohen and his hedge fund, they wanted to put a halt to that. They saw what was happening. And I guess they had some side deal with Robinhood, or they worked out something with Robinhood where they restricted access to those shares. And people got upset because of that. They're like, well, hey, you're making billions of dollars. Why can't we make money off these shares? You know? So that's why people were going at Steve Cohen, because they thought that he was trying to prevent these people from making money, but yet he's a billionaire himself. Mm-hmm. You know? So, that's why he's getting these threats online. But, yeah, I don't think, you know, sending someone death threats is going too far, you know,
mm-hmm.
Especially over shares, you know. They're probably not going to make much money off it anyway, you know. So, but, yeah, that's what he quit Twitter for. I mean, he'll probably be back on Twitter, but, yeah. But I hear that there also might be some investigation in a securities investigation to see, like, if Steve Cohen and his hedge fund had any involvement in restricting the shareholders' access to the traders' access to these shares on the Robinhood app. So there's a bunch of stock stuff, but, yeah. We'll see what happens with that.
I hope he had nothing to do with it behind the scenes, because we don't need any more bad publicity. We don't need...
Oh, yeah.
If he did prevent them to do that, like, we don't need any any shady stuff happening, because I mean, you know, that's messed up, you know.
Yeah.
In every possible way. So I mean, hopefully he didn't have anything to do with it, but I mean, I don't know. So
he denies involvement, so we'll see.
Hopefully this doesn't, you know, affect the Mets directly financially or, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
What else was I going to talk about? Can't even remember.
Knicks?
I definitely was going to talk about Knicks. I guess I'll move on to the Knicks because I'm drawing a blank here. Trying to solve the puzzle like Wheel of Fortune, and I'm just I landed on bankrupt. So let's just move on. The Knicks, man. The Knicks, man. They're such a streaky team. You know, they win three in a row, they lose five in a row, they win four in a row, they lose four in a row. But the good thing they snapped their losing streak lately. And their last game quickly, like off the bench, how many points did he score? Like 25 points, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's been impressive, man. And you know us Knicks fan has been lobbying for quickly to start. But Thibodeau don't think it's a big idea. He thinks, like the saying goes, it's not, you know, how you start, it's how you finish. And apparently he feels it's more important who he puts on the floor when the game's on the line than who starts the game. Which, I mean, I could understand that rationale. I mean, I think that's true, but it would be nice, you know, to see him start the game because, I mean, I think he definitely earned that spot, even though he is a rookie.
Yeah, I think he should start because the guy clearly shows that, you know, he's ready to be a starter in the NBA. I mean, his defense is not as good as Peyton, but, I mean, eventually, you know, as time passes, you know, his defense will improve. But as far as offense, he's our best offensive point guard right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm with him starting. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. For real. I mean, he's making everybody better on the team, you know. You got Randall. He's potentially an all-star. You know, he's averaging, 22 points. 11 rebounds, probably 6 assists.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, everybody's just gelling together. You got Austin Rivers off the bench being a spark. I mean, he scored like 25 points in a game not too long ago. Like, unfortunately, the Knicks didn't score anymore. I forgot what team it was. I think it was against Cleveland when that happened.
Barrett's been playing good, too.
Who did you say?
R.J. Barrett.
Oh, yeah, R.J. Barrett, too. Yeah, for real. And didn't quickly score 31 points a few days ago, too, which is of course, is a career high?
Might have. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been playing real well.
Yeah, there's also rumors that the Knicks, you know, they're interested in upgrading at point guard. Instead of promoting quickly into the starting rotation, the rumor is that Knicks are thinking about either trading for Lonzo Ball or reuniting Tom Thibodeau with his former point guard, Derrick Rose, which also he was also a former Knick as well in his own right. So if you had a choice, if you're Leon Rose, which one would you hire? Which one would you trade for? Who would you give up for them? Or C, none of the above?
I'd say none of the above. I mean, I'm not really impressed by Alonzo. And Derrick Rose, we went down that path already, you know. I don't think we should do that again. Even though he's, I know he's played under Thibodeau in Chicago, but
and,
I don't want to go
Minnesota
down
too.
That. Yeah, and Minnesota. I don't want to go that down that path. I'd rather, you know, start quickly. You know, keep it in, you know, keep it within the organization, you know. So, I'd say neither.
Okay, let's say Dorling came up to you and said, McCall, you have to play for one of them. What would you, who would you, and you had to choose one of them.
I mean, if I had to, if I had to, I guess probably, man, I guess I'd do Rose just because he's, just because, you know, he has the experience and maybe he could.
The familiarity.
The familiarity, and he's played under Thibodeau and, you know, he can mentor some of these young guys, so I'd go with Rose.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think I'd have to agree with you because, you know, if I had to choose, I would choose Rose, you know, because, you know, Rose has played in New York, even though it's briefly, but even more importantly, you know, he's, you know, he has the trust of Thibodeau. I mean, this guy is probably Thibodeau's favorite player of all time, you know. And I mean, he made under his leadership, you know, Derrick Rose, you know, he was MVP until, you know, the injuries, you know, got to him. And then he had that resurrection, what was that, a few years ago when he scored like, what was it? Didn't he score like 55 points or so in a game?
Probably, yeah.
So, I think Thibodeau could definitely get the best out of him as usual.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'll give it a try. You know, I'd say he'd be the better attitude to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get Lonzo Ball, you know, you're going to have to deal with his dad. Come on, Thibodeau. Play my son, man. He got to be averaging a triple-double, man. What you talking about, man? Let me get on the court. Let me coach this game, man. You know, you're going to have that drama. You know? So, I don't know. So if I had to choose, I probably would choose Rose also. But then again, you don't know how many years you have with Rose, and Lonzo Ball is younger. So, oh yeah. But before I move on to something else, yeah, I remember what I was talking about Tanaka. You know, he signed a 2-year deal. The Lockington, I think Eagles, if my memory serves me right, and basically he has an option to opt out after the first year. So he did say that he has unfinished business in America. So you could look to see him come back to the Yankees in a year or two, potentially.
Yeah, could happen.
So
I would welcome him back in open arms.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, shifting gears with the Nets. Yeah, I think they won a game recently, I think on Friday night. And I think they combined for like 96 points or so.
Yeah, and that's been playing real well.
Yeah, they were. They have. Ever since, I think, they lost like the first two games, you know, when they first got together. And then they've won a couple of games. Yeah, yesterday they beat the Thunder, you know, Durant and Harden's former teams. At this point, almost all these teams are going to be Harden and Durant's former teams. But they'll be bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Nets, they won 147 to 125 in Oklahoma City. Man, how many games in a row have they won?
I think like
this one,
five in a row, I think.
Two, three.
Five in a row.
Four, five. No. That's, they lost that one to Cleveland. So that's one, two, three. Yeah, you're right. Five in a row. You're right. They won five in a row. They got their revenge on Cleveland after Cleveland defeated them 147-135 on January 20th. They won five straight, including beating their former teammate Jared Allen and the Cleveland Cavaliers 125-130. Then they defeated the Heat 128-124. Defeated the Heat again 98-86. Beat the Hawks 132-128, and then lastly, they defeated the Thunder by 147-125. Yeah, Harden had a triple double, 25 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. Kyrie had 25 points and 7 assists. Yeah, yeah, Durant didn't play this game. And DeAndre Jordan, you know, he tried to pick up the load and score 10 points and had 8 rebounds. But, yeah. Another thing is they signed Iman Shumpert. So now little Amari is with Amar Stoudemire, you know, in the organization.
Wait, what? Iman's with the Cavs? The Nets?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember back in the days, we always thought Iman Shumpert looked like, you know, a younger Amari Stoudemire. So now they're reunited. They're back in New York City, but now in Brooklyn.
Well, that's a good move. You know, that'll improve their depth because they didn't have much of a bench.
Mm-hmm.
The trading way, you know, some players in that Harden trade.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely need a guy like that, a guy who could score and play some D. You know, so yeah, they definitely needed that for sure. So yeah, it's a good move for the Nets. I'm sure Nets will be able to attract young veteran players to, you know, come to their team, especially when they have the big three, you know. And, you know, some veterans will be they commit to winning, they'll take a pay cut, they'll try to make it work, you know. So we'll see what happens with the Nets in the future. Yeah, shifting gears to the Royal Rumble. You excited?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a good event, even though it won't have any fans to cheer when they do the countdown. But this should be entertaining.
Yeah, that's a goal. What are they gonna do? Are they gonna have audio of the fans counting?
I guess. That's probably what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that like the fans, because the fans are usually going 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
But yep. Yeah, that's gonna be. Yeah, I guess they're going to have audio, or maybe they might have old audio of them saying it. I don't know. Guess we'll find out tomorrow. So, yes, here's the matches that's going to go down Saturday, or I should say tomorrow. We're going to have Sasha Banks. She's going to be defending the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship against Carmella with her chamelier, Reginald, you know, up to his shenanigans to try to help her win this victory. I think Sasha Banks will retain the title. Sun tells me you're going to agree with me.
Yeah, I think Sasha's going to retain it.
Yeah, I think so too. You have Asuka and Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I think they'll retain it. Until if Charlotte goes insane and turns on her and purposely costs Asuka the title, you know, but that could be the only possible way.
That's a tough one right there. Because these two they've been feuding for a while now.
Which one?
Both sides, Asuka and Charlotte, Nia Jax and Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
The last several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Nia Jax and Shayna winning the tag team titles. I think Asuka and Charlotte are going to, they're going to lose it.
Yeah, I'm thinking if Asuka and Charlotte are on the same page and Charlotte doesn't turn heel, they'll retain it. But I don't know. Something just popped in my head now. That possibility didn't pop into my head until just a few seconds ago. I mean, I knew Charlotte would eventually turn on Asuka, but something tells me it might happen tomorrow. We might have Charlotte turn on her, purposely cost them the title, and that could lead to a future feud. I'll explain what I think in a few minutes. Then you got Drew McIntyre versus Goldberg. Drew McIntyre is going to be defending the WWE Championship against Goldberg. Goldberg's going to be trying to win his first ever WWE Championship. Now, to be honest with you, normally a match like this would excite me because these two have never fought each other before. But to be honest with you, I think if Sting was in this spot, I would have been more excited because, you know, Sting's short, long, his time with WWE was so short, and unfortunately, injury plagued, bad booking, especially at that WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 29, if my memory serves me right. No, actually, it was WrestleMania 31, because it was the WrestleMania after Brock Lesnar ended the streak. I think if it was Drew McIntyre versus Sting, I'd be more interested in it. Goldberg, I mean, he's won the title multiple times in WWE, you know. I think, you know, after he lost it to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania a few years ago, that should have just been the end of the story, you know. Then you wouldn't have the horrible match between him and Undertaker, and then you wouldn't have this match, you know. So, yeah, to me, I'm not feeling this match. I think Drew should have fought another person, and Goldberg should have fought somebody else. I don't know. They don't seem like a natural fit to go against each other. I mean, I wouldn't mind them going against each other, you know, in another match. But I don't know. The booking for this just seems a little shoehorned, in my opinion. So, you know, 100% Drew McIntyre is gonna retain it. Okay, who interferes? Brock Lesnar could interfere. Sheamus, I just don't see any possibility of Goldberg winning this title tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with McIntyre retaining.
The only way Drew McIntyre would win this thing is if Vince was like, you know what, I want him to win the Royal Rumble back to back. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's the only. And then you have Sheamus, his best friend, go kick him and cost him the thing, and then he competes and wins in the Royal Rumble. That's the only scenario I could see him possibly losing it. But I just don't see Goldberg winning against McIntyre. Anybody else possibly, but Drew McIntyre, I mean, he's being built like John Cena, you know, 3.0, so I just don't see him losing. And then, speaking of Roman Reigns, the guy who was supposed to face Goldberg at WrestleMania, that was a natural matchup because, you know, you have two guys, you know, power guys. They both finishing moves are the spear. That one made more sense to me. Instead of the Braun Strowman-Goldberg match we had at WrestleMania. But, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the head of the table, he's going to be defending his WWE Universal title against Kevin Owens in a last man standing match for the WWE Universal title. Roman Reigns is going to retain it. I mean, Kevin Owens will come close, but, you know, the Usos will interfere. I think even Jimmy might even come back from his injury and cost him the match. You know, I think Jimmy and Jay will cost him the match. Who knows? Maybe even Rikishi might help out it too and say, I did it for Roman Reigns. I did it for the family. You know, you never know. I mean, wasn't it 20 years ago when he revealed that he was the one that ran over Stone Cold? Because I think that happened in, what, 2000? Stone Cold ran over was, I think, in 99, Survivor Series. And I think he revealed. Yes, exactly. Right. Because The Armageddon pay-per-view event was 2000, and that was in December. The December 2000 of 2000 was when they had that six-man Hell in a Cell match. So so basically Roman Reigns will retain the match.
Yeah, I think he's gonna retain the title also.
And then remember that clue I gave you a few minutes ago with Charlotte Flair, costing Asuka and her the title.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it comes into play. Originally, I was thinking Bayley might win it, so she could continue her feud with Sasha Banks, but Charlotte Flair could possibly win it again. Didn't she? When was the last time she won the thing? Oh yeah, she won it last year when she defeated Rhea Ripley of NXT. So they might have her do it again. Be the first woman to win it back to back in two times ever. So, yeah, and then she'd be the first father and daughter duo to win the Royal Rumble. Oh, well, she's already that because she won it last year, now that I think about it. But, yeah, so I'm thinking it's going to be Charlotte Flair to win it or Bayley. Again, this is if Charlotte Flair turns heel. If Charlotte Flair does not turn heel, Bayley will win it. So there's an asterisk with my choice. If Charlotte Flair stays babyface, she will not win the Royal Rumble. Bayley will win it. Okay.
Is
Lacey Evans?
No, Alexa Bliss in this Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Oh sure.
I think if
you're
it's
right.
Not Bayley,
goodness, you're right.
That's right.
It'd
be Alexa.
Oh my goodness, you're right. It is gonna be Alexa Bliss. Because Alexa Bliss, when she turns into the fiend version of Alexa Bliss, I don't know what to call her. She can't be defeated. You're right. She's the winner. Oh my goodness, it was as plain as day. You're right.
I mean, I'm still Alexa sticking Bliss with Bayley. I'm still sticking with Bayley. I'm sticking with Bayley to win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Alexa won it.
It's Alexa Bliss. It has to be Alexa Bliss. We didn't even see it has to be her, because she didn't win the WWE title thanks to Orton RKO Owen, hitting the RKO on her to prevent her from winning the title, because she was sure gonna win that title. But this is her second chance to win the title. Oh man. It is Alexa Bliss. That's a spoiler alert right there. Alexa Bliss is gonna win the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble. So yeah, that's my pick. Alexa Bliss will win.
I'm sticking with Bayley, but again, I won't be surprised if Alexa Bliss win it. The reason why I'm a little hesitant to pick Alexa 100% because I can see Randy coming in there and causing her to lose. Somehow, because he's been having, because the way they're making it seem like he's gonna fight her instead of Bray Wyatt,
and she might return the favor and interfere in the men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, maybe
just like Nia Jax a few years ago.
Yeah,
I don't think it was last year, right? It was like 2 years ago, right?
Maybe I can't remember.
Let me see if I could. Let me see. Rumble 2019.
Okay.
2019 is when she competed in the Royal Rumble. So it's literally over 2 years ago. Yeah, Nia Jax made history as the first person to compete in both the men and women Royal Rumble in the same night.
Yeah.
And the fourth woman to do it. overall. I'm trying to think. It was China. It was did Nicole Bass compete in one too?
I was just thinking I might have to change my pick because I'm thinking Bianca's been doing a great job as well.
She'd be a good
pick to win this.
Yeah, she'd be good too.
You know what? I'm changing my pick. I'm gonna go with Bianca Belair winning the Royal Rumble. I'm gonna go with her.
That would be her against Sasha Banks would be an amazing pay per view.
I'm gonna go with her. Forget Bayley.
I don't know if Vince McMahon would want to do that, but I think that would be a great, because I think her and Sasha Banks match each other very. Their gimmicks are very similar.
Yeah.
Like they would be like perfect rivals and then future tag team partners.
Yeah.
Cause I think they would like mesh together just like her and Bayley mesh as well. You know, with the contrast between both of them, kind of like Rock and Sock connection, which they were hugging. What was their nickname when Bayley and her were tag team partners the first time?
What was it?
Something and hug. I can't even remember.
Hugs and kisses?
Oh, I can't even remember. But anyway, yeah. You know, they had the opposite, but her and Sasha Banks would be very similar. Like, they would be a good tag team. You could
Boss and
could,
hug.
What? Boss and hug. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's the pick. Okay, and last, the men's one. Yeah, I think it's going to be. Yeah, I'm gonna pull a. I know on Raw, rather SmackDown, they made it look like, you know, Braun Strowman is gonna win it because he had that big reveal. Which after I saw, I was like, they should have saved the reveal for Royal Rumble, because it would have been a bigger reveal if they would have done that. You know, but yeah, my pick is, I think it's going to be Sheamus. I know they were teasing, you know, Braun Strowman. They were teasing Daniel Bryan because he's never won it. But I think it might be Sheamus.
Oh, that's true. Daniel Bryan has never won that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then having them come back and possibly fight Roman. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be an interesting matchup.
You know, I'm gonna have to change my pick again. I pick AJ on my show. I'm gonna go and pick Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble.
AJ would be a phenomenal pick too, but
yeah,
maybe next year. I don't know if he'd win it this year. I mean, he does have Omos on his side who could maybe possibly interfere, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be easy in a Royal Rumble match, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
All eyes are gonna be on the because the referees are gonna be looking to see if anybody's foot touched the ground. So it's not gonna be easy as, let's say, a regular match of, you know, someone interfering.
Yeah, I'm going with Daniel Bryan to win the men's and Bianca to win the women's. My final picks.
Hey, I hope you're right, because you know, I'm a fan of both of them. So I hope you're right. But I don't know. I just feel like. Let's see. Who's the okay? So there's Drew McIntyre as a champion, and then you have Roman Reigns. So yeah, I think it would make sense for Sheamus to win it, because he's been, you know, best friends with Drew McIntyre. You know, right now he's a baby face, even though he was kind of a villain a few weeks ago. And he was feuding with Keith Lee. But, yeah, I think Sheamus will win it.
That'll be an interesting match.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what happened on the other stuff, like NXT and AEW. Let me see. Trying to think what happened. Was that a tag team match? On NXT they had the Dusty Rhodes you know, tag team, the tag team classic. They had it for both the men and the women. Let me see if I could remember the major thing that happened. Whatchamacallit, Finn Balor, you know, he put his rivalry aside with Kyle O'Reilly from the UE, and he defeated Oney Larkin and Danny Burch, you know, the champions. They teased that, you know, maybe Finn Balor might join the Undisputed Era, even though he didn't, but, you know, they have that Bullet Club ties, which has been a theme throughout wrestling all over the place, especially AEW as well, which I'll talk about afterwards. Let's see, what was going on in there? Yeah, that was the main event. You had MSK, they defeated Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, they defeated Aliyah and Jesse Camilla. Tyler Rust defeated Daniel Garcia. Grizzle Young Veteran defeated Kushida and Leon Ruff. Bronson Reed defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott. And then, of course, Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly, they defeated, you know, the tag team champions, Oney Larkin and Danny Burch, to advance in the Dusty Rhodes, you know, classic, tag team classic. But, yeah, I'm trying to think what happened. I think this Wednesday, Miro is going to be the best man for Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford's long anticipated wedding. Shaq, he challenges Cody Rhodes to a tag team match, expected to be at AEW Revolution. That would be Shaq and, I'm trying to remember that.
You said Shaq?
Yeah, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he's in AEW now?
Yeah, he's gonna team up with Jade Cargill, and he's gonna fight Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. Cody Rhodes' wife, Brandi Rhodes, would have been in this match originally. But unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately. She couldn't make it because she has even better things to do. She's doing taking the Becky Lynch route. She's going to be a first time mother as well. So, congratulations to her.
Interesting.
So instead, her protege Red Velvet is going to take her spot. So it's going to be Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet versus Shaquille O'Neal and Jade Cargill. And that match is going to be at AEW Revolution March 7th at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view event. And on AEW, Dolph Ziggler's brother, real-life brother, he fought. I'm trying to think. Was it? It might have been Hangman Adam Page, if memory serves me right. Yes, it was. So yeah, here's the matches that happened. Eddie Kingston defeated Lance Archer because he had like a brass knucks he used that the referee didn't see to knock out Lance Archer. Then Jericho and MJF defeated the Varsity Blondes, which has Brian Pillman Jr. in the group. Hangman Adam Page defeated Ryan Namath, who is really Dolph Ziggler's real-life brother. You had Jungle Boy, who's Luke Perry's son. versus Dax Harwood from FTR, formerly known as what was the name of the group? What was the name of that group when they were in WWE? What's the name of that group? I can't even remember their names. Crap, I totally forgot their names, but it doesn't matter anyway. Let me move on. Yeah, then you have Britt Baker. She defeated Shayna via submission. And Britt Baker, she's expected to fight against Thunder Rosa in the upcoming pay-per-view event. Well, I think it might even be at the Wednesday matchup at the beach event that they're gonna have on Wednesday. And then you have the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks and the Good Brothers defeating the Dark Order. And this was probably Dark Order's first defeat since the untimely passing of their leader, Brody Lee. So, the Revival, that's the name of the group. The former WWE group. I guess that's all she wrote today. Anything else you'd like to say before we head out, Mac?
Everyone enjoy Royal Rumble, and everyone stay safe out there, and come back and check out Sports Urban Legend, only on Blog Talk Radio.
You heard the man. Come back in 2 weeks to find out the conclusion, our thoughts on the Super Bowl that's going down next week. We'll also give our review of the Royal Rumble, and we'll talk about what else is going on in sports and entertainment as usual. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course Wayne Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace out. School is over. You're dismissed.